السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصرني ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has commanded us to make our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our role model. And he has informed us that that is how a person is successful. And the role model of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that a person, as much of his life as possible, he molds it in accordance with the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, something is fard. That means it was part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, and it was part of his life to such a degree that he gave it so much importance that he never missed it out. And he told his ummah to do the same. So part of following the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bringing what is farz into our life. Something that is haram or it is makruh tahrimi is something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid so much attention to staying away from that he never ever did it, and he prohibited his followers from doing it as well. So that is also part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way. And thereafter, what we call sunnah, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, he encouraged it, he didn't make it compulsory. Usually when we hear that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model, then we think that as many sunnahs as possible we need to bring into our life, which is correct. Most definitely we should try to do so. Especially those things which are very easy to do. It is very easy to leave the masjid with the left foot, enter with the right foot. But a person shouldn't think that this is not 0.1% of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Every inch, every percentage of a percentage, fraction of a percentage, that our life gets closer to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the better for us. So, every single part of what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before eating, he would just say, Bismillah. Bismillah wa barakatillah. Now, a person shouldn't think this a tiny part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. No, it was a part of his life. In fact, the people of the past, the likes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to go above and beyond this as well. For example, there is an incident mentioned in the books of hadith. I will summarize it for you. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had an invitation at someone's house. So he went to go eat there. And Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu, at that time he is a child, but he used to help Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to serve him. So he went with him. When they sat down to eat, then Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu, he noticed something peculiar about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He noticed that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is paying a lot of attention to a certain portion of the meal. He is picking pieces from here and there. And Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu noticed that what he is picking from here and there, a piece of God, a type of vegetable, similar to a pumpkin. So Sayyidina Anas noticed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is picking these out. So he realized that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a particular fondness for these. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not encourage that a person should eat gold. It was his natural tent. He was naturally fond of it. Like a person naturally has a favorite meal. You can say it isn't even part of our deen. It was a natural habit, a natural inclination of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at how much zeal these people of the past had to copy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, after that he would have God in every meal. Every meal. Some of his, when he grew old, then he became a teacher of many. Of course, he was a sahabi, a very knowledgeable sahabi. So he became a teacher of many students. So one of his students who used to regularly go to visit him would say, whenever I used to go, under the dasturkhan there was God. Whenever the dasturkhan was placed up. And a very recent alim, a very great personality of the recent era, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi rahmatullah alayh. When he heard about this incident of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he also began eating God. And to this extent, that was the only thing he used to eat in every meal. And eventually after some time, if you eat only one type of meal, then your health suffers, of course. So his health suffered and the doctors told him that, look, you will have to vary your diet, you will have to eat other things as well. Then he began eating other things. So you can say these people were obsessed with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't even look at, is it part of deen? It is natural habit, a natural inclination, so what, we will do it. So no part of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life can be said to be insignificant. Who knows, it might be that part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes about us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that his life is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means every single part of his life is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we bring even one small sunnah, really we shouldn't even call it small. It is something very big. If we bring one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life, then we should feel happy that one part of the life style which is beloved to Allah Ta'ala is in my life. So definitely it will attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more parts of my life are similar, the same as the parts of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more parts of that beloved lifestyle to Allah Ta'ala I have in my life, so the more mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower upon me in this world and the hereafter. But what I was saying is that when we hear that follow the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then our mind automatically goes to those things which are sunnah. But we also need to understand that those things which are farz was an even more important part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. That is why we call them farz. Those things which are wajib was an even more important part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And staying away from that which is haram, makruh, tahrim was even more important part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. So, following our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is extremely important. And wherever we get the chance, we should do it. Wherever we get the chance, we should do it. And we should pay particular importance to those things which are easy to do. Like I gave the example, leaving the masjid with the left foot, entering with the right foot. When you're eating with the right hand. If possible, eating with three fingers if it is a meal that is easy to do so. And with this, we should try to increase our knowledge of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Read books on his seerah, on his lifestyle, on his life. Ask an alim, you know, is this book reliable? Or ask him, which book should I read? Ask him, you know, is this book, if you find a book, ask him, is it reliable? This is a side point, but before, whenever we pick up a book, a dini book, an Islamic book, if we know the author, and we know he 100% that he's a reliable alim, and alhamdulillah, if we don't, then we should go ask an alim, we know that is this book reliable? Because nowadays, anyone can write a book, must produce it, send a few free copies everywhere, and you think this book is widespread, so it must be reliable. So, we need to make it a point to follow the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, what I specifically wanted to say was that
following the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fills a person's heart with nur. It fills a person's heart with nur. And the more a person's heart is filled with nur, the more he is inclined to follow in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent as a role model for us, when someone is a role model for you, that means that and someone is a good role model for you, that means that you must be able to follow them. If I bring the world's strongest man here and I make him do some heavy lifting, some difficult work, and I say this is our role model, people listen, he's out of our league, we can't follow him. If I bring an ordinary person, but who's looked after himself, who's looked after his health, and I say that, look at his health, that is someone who we can choose as our role model. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our role model. That means that we must also be able to bring the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life. And that automatically means that everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us we must do, it is perfectly possible for us to bring it into our life. Otherwise, how could he be a role model? That he has told us we must do this, but if we think about it, no, it's not possible for me. Or it was possible in that era. Maybe it was possible in the earlier eras of Islam. In the 21st century, think times have changed. It's not possible for me anymore. How can he have been a good role model then? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us he is a role model for everyone until the day of judgment, and in the 21st century, it's not possible to follow it. How is that a good role model? In the same way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that don't make sure you don't do this. Make sure you don't misuse your eyes. Make sure you don't misuse your ears. Make sure you don't misuse your tongue. Make sure you don't do this. Make sure you don't do that. If any one of those commands were such that it's not possible to do so in the 21st century, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't be a good role model. How can he came and told us to do something that the people of the future wouldn't be able to do? That is impossible. So that also tells us that the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a role model tells us that every command that he gave us, every compulsory command that he gave us, or everything he prohibited from, it is perfectly possible for us to do it. It is perfectly possible for us to do it. When we understand that, then we must also thereafter make it a purpose in our life that every single thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded, everything he has prohibited, in particular farz, wajib, staying away from haram, makruh, tahrim, we must make it a goal. Our mindset shouldn't be, this is not possible for me. I can't control my anger. I can do everything. I can't control my anger. Or I can do everything else, but I can wake up for Fajr Salah. That means that indirectly you are saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left a command that I cannot do. He told me to do something which I cannot do. That means indirectly we are saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a good role model. How is that possible? So let us make this a target. And there are many things that will aid us in this target. There are many things that will aid us in this target. But one thing that will specifically, which I wish to mention today, which will aid us in this target, which is something very simple, which is something which we have already touched upon, which is that those things which are easy in our deen, pay particular importance to it. Those things which are easy in our deen, often they're not compulsory. Like I gave the example of some sunnahs. Before you go to sleep, sleep on your right side. Before you go to the toilet, enter with your left foot, come out with your right foot. These things are not compulsory and they look small, so we think they're not important. If we miss a salah, we think that's a big deal, and it is a big deal, no doubt about it. But all of these things are part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, so they will fill your heart with nur. They will fill your heart with nur. As a result, you will be able to carry out those things that look very big and look very difficult for you. And often it is as a result of us ignoring these small things, these easy to do things, that slowly, slowly our heart becomes weaker. The nur that should be feeding our heart doesn't feed our heart. And as a result, when the farz commands come, when something that comes that is a bit difficult to us, when it comes to controlling our tongue or controlling our eyes, then we fall down and we think it is too difficult. That is because we are not feeding our heart with nur. If we were to feed our heart with nur by doing these small, small things, then slowly but surely the bigger thing would become easier for us. So this is a very simple lesson that we can take away today, that whatever we find from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, especially the things that are easy, Bring it into our life. And bringing it into our life, number one, with this intention that it's part of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And number two, bring it with this intention that, you know what, I really struggle, for example, I really struggle with the Fajr Salah. I really struggle with this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm really struggling to get this sin out of my life. So I'm doing this with the intention that it will add some nur to my heart and it will definitely, to some degree, make it easier. Now today you have brought one sunnah into your life. Tomorrow or the week after you have brought another sunnah into your life and you're doing this regularly. In another week, another few days later, you have another. Slowly, slowly this nur will build up. And before long you will realize yourself that those things which I found which I thought were difficult to do, I no longer find them so difficult. And not only that, you will also find that those commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I really didn't even feel like doing. I don't feel like going to the masjid right now. I don't feel like performing salah. Or Fajr salah, I really don't feel like doing it. Or when I sit with the Quran, I don't feel like it. Because of this nur in your heart, you will feel like doing it. When a person's heart becomes filled with nur, then there are two benefits. The first benefit is that everything becomes easier. Because he becoming spiritually stronger. And the second benefit is that as well as everything becoming easier, his inclination towards everything good increases. And his inclination to stay away from everything evil increases. That is why regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that habbaba ilaykum al-iman wa zayyanahu fi qulubikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just say they had iman, or they had a very high level of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He made iman beloved to them, and He adorned it in the heart. That means iman, and with iman, all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were very beloved to them. They really felt like doing them. They were really inclined to them. And on the other side, وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسِيَانِ كُفْرُ disbelief. And with that, all disobedience, not only did they stay away from it, no, one step further. كَرَّهَ, Allah Ta'ala made it very dislike to them. It is just like, if I give you a very simple example, that if you are walking outside, down the path, and you see that there is some dog has left some filth there, then no one will need to tell you that, make sure you avoid it, if you can see it. The moment you see it, you will do your best to avoid it. You will feel abhorrent. In fact, some people will feel so abhorrent that they will cross the road and walk on the other side, or they will walk on the road. In the same way, if a person's heart, he fills it with nur by following whatever he can of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, then slowly but surely, he will feel abhorrent. He will feel the same abhorrence towards the disobedience of Allah. It will be like filth to him. This is exactly the condition of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu gained this through the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through following his life. If we also, we cannot adopt the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can't adopt company of the pious people in our time as well. But with that, if we also follow whatever kind of the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then slowly but surely we will also feel this abhorrence towards the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, and we will also find it very easy to leave. And when we do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the success of this world and the hereafter. And just like I mentioned in the verse I recited at the beginning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fattabi'uni, then follow me, follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you do this, you will be following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then yuhibbukum Allah, Allah ta'ala will make you your beloved, and Allah ta'ala will forgive whatever sins you do. So this is a very simple message. We are going through the month of Rabiul Awal, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. A person naturally remembers Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more. And the best way to remember Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to make him part of your physical actions and your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhir da'an. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, now every week, our e-weekly English gathering will take place after Isha. So everyone is requested to participate.